Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Let's listen to a new track from Esperanza Spalding.
Wanna be grown and let it go. Really didn't let it go though. Now we gotta tiptoe around this hole. It's aching on the ground of my world. You know we all see and make believe. Please, just what do you need, babe?
For much of this year, bassist and singer Esperanza Spalding spent her time working on a new album called Songwrites Apothecary Lab. As the name suggests, Spalding has been interrogating the way that music can have healing properties or the way a song can serve a purpose. For this work, Spalding consulted not only with other artists and performers, but also conferred with researchers and wellness practitioners, from music therapists to neuroscientists. The project sought to answer the question, quote, what do you, I, we most need a song for? The project moved across the country during the production process from sessions in Wasco County and Portland, Oregon, and then in June, Spalding worked on the album here in New York City. In New York City, the public was able to hear the tracks as they were formed, as well as Spalding's dialogue with researchers about the music's intent and impact. Here today to join us for an All of It listening party for her new album and her collaborative work is Esperanza Spalding. Esperanza, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So grateful to be here.
I wanted to start by exploring a bit of the process and the creation behind this album. What is the Songwrites Apothecary Lab? What was the idea? How did it come about?
Well, I thought that if we reached out to beings who were more deeply in the role of a practitioner in these fields that are an intersection of music and therapy or recovery or healing, we might glean some tools, some practices, some ingredients that we could weave into the music that we were making and maybe start to think differently or approach differently how we offered the music. So that was initially the intention, you know, just to enhance the properties that are already beneficial in the music and maybe have a new way for us to show up as musicians, as practitioners. And then we learned that a lot of us in music already intuitively have some ideas, have some good insights about what makes a song most effective for its intended use. And I think what we learned is that those kind of intuitions can be deepened, unpackaged, unfolded, or maybe put in the light of kind of why or how once we're in conversation with these other kinds of practitioners.
When did you start thinking about that question? It's such an interesting question. What do you need a song for? And I'm curious about some of the more interesting answers you got.
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe the simplest way. You know, actually, I'm thinking about David Ammons. I thought about a story that I heard about him when he had a retrospective in L.A., and he showed up 2 weeks before the event and sat down out front of the gallery for 2 weeks every day and just watched people. And finally, one of the curators came up and said, you know, sir, do you need anything? Like, are you okay? What's going on? And he said, oh, I need to see what people need so I know how to build the exhibition. And I thought that was such a beautiful process, like such a beautiful and generous step for an artist to take. And I think that kind of translated into our question of like, what do you need a song for? Instead of us thinking that we know what we need to make for so-and-so or who and who. Of course, we have our own little struggles that we make the music for. But just to invite this question and invite a listener or any other person to just think about that, like, if it was possible to make a song that could respond to like a struggle or an ailment or a need or a cause for celebration, like what would that mean? If in your life you could reach out, you could ask for that. So we started asking that, asking our, each other, asking our friends, asking our family. And one of the funniest ones I got was from a friend who's approaching menopause and said, damn, you know, I know we're going to lose testosterone, you know, and I don't want to lose testosterone on the other side of menopause. So, like, is there some music that makes it less likely that a woman is going to lose testosterone as she ages? And so that seems so specific and maybe kind of funny. But as we started looking into it, our whole approach to the question changed. And instead it changed into, why are we afraid to age as women? Like, where is this coming from? Where is this fear or this urgency? It's like, oh, no, I can't slow down. I can't lose my muscle mass. Like, I can't, I had to keep up. I got to keep up. Then it led to this whole inquiry of like, wow, isn't there maybe a hole in our communities of honoring elder women? And then that changed the whole course of the song. That instead we wanted to make a song about celebrating the aging process if you're a female. You know, so it's like the prompt itself is actually the generative fodder for the whole process of creating the song in response to that prompt.
That's such an interesting journey from her answer,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Took a little left turn, that's went up a ramp, went down the other side.
Exactly. And, you know, the way that the research unfolds, I mean, anybody who's ever, you know, started one place on a Wikipedia search and then somehow you end up like 25 degrees of separation at this other idea that actually shines a light on the backside of your original question. You know, it's kind of like that, but with people who actually do research, you know, not just like me sitting at my home Googling things.
My guest, Esperanza Spalding, the name of the new album is Songwrites Apothecary Lab. So all the songs in the album are titled, and I'm going to spell it, F-O-R-M-W-E-L-A, Formuela.
Formula.
Formuela.
Formula, yeah.
Like formula or formwell?
Like formula. I like to say, I mean, say it how you feel it. I like how you just said it, Formuela. I think of it like these songs were built with such intention, and we tried to weave so many structural elements into their shape. So they are these little forms. They are these intentional forms, but they're music. So the form reveals itself when we music it, when we sing it. So the name is meant to imply that it's a form that takes shape when we sing it. Formula. It's a formula. It's a formula. And then, of course, since it's an apothecary, what would an apothecary be without a bunch of various formulas for different functions? So it's kind of a double entendre, that it's a formula, but it's also a formula.
Let's take a listen to Formula number one. What is the origin story of this track?
This track came during September of 2020. Mm-hmm. I was pretty much maxed out on my patience of being in shared space with other people in the pandemic. And I thought, it would be so nice if there was a song I could sing internally to sort of fill my body with a sense of peace, even if the environment was stressful. And it would be nice if, you know, moments that I can't play a song or go reach out for a song that makes me feel better, I could hear it through audiation, which is a word that means hearing something internally. Like you can remember how a song sounds in your head. So Formula One was designed to be a song that would bring some peace and soothing when you heard it in your own head. So it's designed to be easy to remember. It's a pretty simple melody with words that kind of invite visualization of grounding. And it was built with the Cherukeshi Raga, which is a South Indian scale that's used to calm the heart when somebody's nervous. So,
let's take a listen to Formuela. One, three, one.
Ground wide and steady while the burning flickers. take us to a glow out the temple of your ear, while the levee of our predicaments unyielding love come flood through here. In and around the walls of your heavy-minded past, miraculously clear, uncupping your brim of the never-ending jazz.
That's Formuela One from Songwrites Apothecary Lab. My guest is Esperanza Spalding. The album features three songs in collaboration with songwriter, singer, trombonist Corey King, who you worked with and toured with before. What do you like about working with Corey that you return to working with him?
Oh, thank you for asking. I will say that one of the themes that keeps coming up as we research, you know, how to show up as musicians offering music with a little, you know, enhanced intention for benefit. One thing that keeps coming up is authenticity, meaning whatever we're making has to feel genuine and like it's truly coming from our seat of aesthetic, you know, our seat of artistic taste and artistic authenticity. So in reaching out to collaborators for the lab, I wanted to reach out to people that I actually have rapport with, that we do have connection, we do have a relationship, and there's trust and there's love there. And I thought of Corey King because I know he's somebody who's curious about these kinds of themes, you know, of how to offer a particular kind of vibe or ambience through the music that they create. And he's a collaborator that I have a lot of trust in, and I know that when we get together to write, it's going to be lovely. And of course, at the beginning, in the middle, and the end of the day, you can put all this intention and all these cool ingredients into the song, but if it doesn't sound good, it doesn't matter, you know? So it's also a collaborator that I had confidence what we made together would be beautiful. And unscientifically, but scientific in a different way, his voice is soothing to me. His voice is a voice that I love to hear. I listen to his music sometimes to calm me or soothe me or to keep me company. So I thought that in this vein of wanting to offer a song that had this kind of enhanced benefit to the listener, he would be a good collaborator.
Let's listen to Formuela 6 from Songwrites Apothecary Lab. I don't have the liner notes in front of me, but I'm assuming that's you on bass.
It is me on bass. Yeah, we recorded that live in my uncle's house in Portland, Oregon, during the Portland, which is how I call Portland, my hometown, Songwrites Apothecary Lab. Yes.
So, yeah, you mentioned, you know, part of this project took place in Oregon and Portland, and part of it took place in New York City. Was there a different vibe that you got? Because, again, you know, two cosmopolitan places, two places have very different energies.
I mean, I woke up from a dream once and I heard this phrase that said, the medicine comes from where it's needed. So I feel like there's something really important. It's one of the values of this lab, that the place that we're offering the music, that we're doing this process, the place that we are, inform who comes into the space to collaborate. So Corey was in the Northwest and I wanted to do a Porto Land Apothecary Lab. So everybody who was a part of that lab, the photographer, the artist, the engineer, everybody's based in Portland. So when we came to do the Lower Manhattan Songwriters Apothecary Lab, it was really important to me that everybody who was in the lab is from that city, is based in that city. You know, I'm obviously not from New York, but I spent a lot of time in New York. So I felt like what we were bringing through was very much informed by and meant to serve the vibe of that place in that moment. That's why we were so happy to finally be able to invite audience into the process, because I wanted to feel like we're in an energetic dialogue with the people who spend their lives in that place. You know, they're a part of the energetic field informing what we hear and how we feel. And I wanted that to inform the music that came out of our bodies, you know, in this type of investigation that the lab is holding for us.
How was the public involved?
They came in most nights of the lab, and we shared fragments of what we were working on, and then had a Q&A. So, first of all, there's something when you're a performer, I don't know if there's research on this yet, but you can kind of get a sense of if a song is working.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you play it, even for your family, or even for some friends, you kind of go like, okay, that part's a little flat. Like, okay, that part needs to be extended, whatever. So partly it was for our kind of subtle research of like, how are these songs actually feeling with others? And it was an invitation for the people who came into the room, knowing what the intended use and effect of the songs were, to offer feedback and ask questions and give us prompts and give us challenges. So it was energetic dialogue. It was a verbal dialogue. And also just a way for us to show process, to say like, okay, these songs that you're going to go hear in the world, like, welcome into the lab, see how we're doing it. This is all the elements that are here, and let's be honest about what's also not here and be transparent about where we are in the process. So when you hear it later, you feel more open to invite it into your ears and into your body.
Well, let's listen to one of the New York tracks. This is Formula 7.
Hearing is a labor like reading. Hearing is a labor like keeping still. Hearing is a labor like seeing. Like seeing. Seeing for real. Hearing is a labor like reading. Hearing is a labor like keeping still.
The name of the album is Songwrites Apothecary Lab. I'm speaking with Esperanza Spalding. Okay, so there's 1 through 13, but there's no 12.
Haha, because Formula, okay, I'm going to tell you, this is supposed to be a surprise. It will be a surprise too, but I mentioned we were turned around when we started researching what music might help women not lose testosterone as we age. And then we got turned around, like I said, to investigate, wait a minute, why are we afraid of losing testosterone? Like, oh, maybe we're afraid of aging because maybe we don't see a lot of positive examples of elder women in our culture.
Esperanza, quick question.
And
quick
so,
thing. We have about 30 seconds.
Yes. Okay. Basically, Formula 12, we had to slow down and do in another location so that we could collaborate with an elder woman because we realized that we didn't have any elders in the room. So it forced us to actually slow down and make time to uplift an elder woman around us. And that's Formula 12 coming later.
Love it. Can't wait to hear it. The name of the album is Songwrites Apothecary Lab from Esperanza Spalding. We look forward to track 12 as well. Thanks, Esperanza.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bless.